everyone. This is Sandy Caldwell, and welcome back to Quilt Cabana Corner. After a nice hot summer, today feels like a fall day and a good day to start up a new podcast. And this is episode number 21. I guess I'm pretty behind on the podcasting since everyone around me seems to be having these milestone anniversaries. Like Sandy from Quilting for the Rest of Us, she's hit 100 episodes. And Katie from Katie's Quilting Corner, she's hit 50 episodes. So I guess I'm a little behind, but maybe this year I can catch up. I looked back and I actually think maybe one of my first podcast episodes was like in 2009. So I guess I definitely am behind. I'll have to work on that. I hope that you all had a good summer. We had a lazy summer and a nice vacation. We went to Disney World at the end of August, and my mom came with us, and it was unbelievably hot down there and humid, and it rained every day, but we put on our ponchos and we didn't let it stop us at all. We had a great time. It was really, really fun. And as I had put on my blog, I started a new collection down there thanks to my mom, and it's a thimble collection. And where I got them was all through Epcot in the different countries. Not every country had a thimble to purchase, but four of them did. So you can see the photos of the ones I got. I got one from Mexico, one from Germany, one from China, and one from Japan. So if you're down there and you collect thimbles, be sure to stop into those pavilions on those particular countries and pick one up. So that was our Disney trip. It was really fun. We went to the Harry Potter stuff over at Universal. The girls loved that because they had never been to that before. In fact, none of us had, so it was nice to do something new while we were down there. It was great. So I'm recording this podcast in the few minutes I have before I'm headed off to the chiropractor for my hip and back again. So I'll probably end up recording part of it now and part of it later. And because I know I have a time crunch, I realize I'm speaking really fast, so I will try to slow that down. So actually, the update on the hip and leg pain is that I finally went to my primary care physician and he sent me to the chiropractor. And I've been there 7 or 8 times, I think, and I still actually don't have relief, but they were able to see that I do have a pinched nerve in my lower back, and that's what's causing the pain. And they assure me it's not from quilting. So that made me very happy to hear that. I was so worried they were going to say, lay off the foot pedal on your sewing machine some and it'll get better, but they didn't say that. And hopefully they'll be able to fix my back up so I can get back to taking walks and going through the mall without pain. It's really been a long road. It's been since April, so I'm hoping to get this resolved soon. Trying to think what else there is for a Sandy Caldwell update. I had some good news over the summer from a couple of different magazines. I found out that I'm going to be in the 100 Blocks issue, which is volume number 6, and that comes out pretty soon. It's the November issue, so you can look for my block in there. And I am thrilled to be part of their blog tour, so you'll have to come see my blog, you know, on that day, whatever day I'm picked for. And I also found out that a photo of my nautical table runner is going to be in the Quilting Bee section of Quilter's Newsletter in November. I also have a quilt coming out in Quilter's World magazine in April. And I have one more thing, and now I can't remember what it was. Oh, I can't remember. It'll come to me. But anyways, those are kind of the big things on the horizon for me. I can't wait till those magazines come out, so I hope you'll pick them up. I do have a book review today. It's called The Half-Stitched Quilting Club, and I'll do that a little bit later in the podcast. And I have a couple of magazines, just a few things that caught my eye. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because we have other things to talk about today. And let's see, I have some reader comments from the podcast research question from way back in June, and give me a second and I'll pull those up. Before I pull those up, I just remembered the one more thing in the Sandy Caldwell update, and that is that in the McCall's Quilting, the December issue, so that should be coming out soon, anytime now, I guess. I also have a Christmas wall hanging in there. It's called Coming Down the Chimney, so check that out in McCall's Quilting. All right, on to the podcast research question. which was, if you could take a quilting class from anyone, who would it be and why? So right now I'm looking on the Quilt Cabana subgroup of the Big Tent, and B. Freeman 56 said she would take one from Jenny Beyer and Karen K. Buckley. Good choices. I would love to take one from Jenny Beyer too. And, oh, she says, I forgot to say why. I would love to be able to hand stitch like Jenny and improve my applique under Karen's guidance. I admire both of their works. Sandy from Sandy Quilt says, I would love to take an in-person class with Wendy Butler Burns. I'm currently taking her Art Quilting 101 class on Craftsy, which is great, but there's still nothing that replaces the in-person experience. That's true. I'd also like to take a class with Karen Lee Carter, the teacher I interviewed at Mid-Atlantic Quilt Festival in February. I wasn't able to get into her class and would still like another opportunity to do that. Ruth McDowell, although she's now retiring, so I think I missed my chance on that one. Yes, Sandy, you probably did. Like her concept of using the seams as part of the design. Who else? Lots of people. I'd just like to take a lot more classes. And I agree with that. I feel the same way. Jackie from So Excited Quilts says, great podcast. Thank you, Jackie. Road to work with me. Would like to take a class with Alex Anderson. Seems down to earth in an inviting manner. Yes, I would love to do that too. And I also would love to attend the Super Seminar with Ricky and Alex and Libby. That just seems like it would be great. Let's see. On Facebook, that was from Twitter. And then on Facebook, Tuesday Metzger says, hi Sandy, I love your YouTube broadcasts. I look forward to Thursdays to check them out. As to who I would like to take a quilting class with, I think it would be Mary Schaefer, who was an early quilt maker and collector of old quilts, who knew so much about our quilting heritage from the quilts that she made and collected. I have a book Gwen Marston wrote about her, and I love to look at the photos of Mary's quilts and get ideas for quilts to make. And I bet she would have had a lot of great stories to tell the class about the history and how to make those old styles. Yep, I bet she would too. So those were the answers that I received for that question. And let's see, I guess if I had to choose someone, I would like to take a class with Leah Day because I really like her free motion quilting skills, and I just think she works so hard to make those designs, to bring the designs to people in a way that make you feel like you could actually do it. So, her website's great too, by the way, her blog with all the free videos and stuff. Alex Anderson, I would like to, oh, Pepper Corey. I'd like to take a class with Pepper Corey. So, there's a lot out there. All right, so the next podcast research question ties in with this little story about featherweight sewing machines and Disney. It all ties in together. See that? It all just ties in together. So all summer long, I'll just start by saying this. All summer long, I spent many an evening on eBay looking at Singer featherweight machines. And I don't have the money to purchase one, but I just got it in my head that I enjoyed reading descriptions of them and clicking on different links and kind of learning a little bit about them. So when we went to Disney, as I said, my mom was there. So two nights of the vacation, the kids were back in the hotel room with my mom, and my husband and I went downstairs to the hotel lobby to have a drink and have a little grown-up time on the vacation. And the second night that we were down there, we sit down at the bar, and there's a lovely couple sitting next to us, and it turns out they're from Kingston, Massachusetts. And we're from East Bridgewater, Massachusetts, which is probably maybe 15 minutes from Kingston. So it turned out that the husband, I forget his name, let's just call him Ed. It turned out that Ed was an antiques dealer, and he had been doing antique business for like the last 48 years, and he goes out to Brimfield, Massachusetts in the fall where there's like this huge antique fair type thing, and there are dealers there and whatnot. So he begins talking about it, and I also watched a lot of Antiques Roadshow on Channel 2 and did a lot of yard sailing this summer, so I was really interested in what he was saying, and my husband was too, and he was telling us that things from things that were industrial are really big in antique selling right now. People want things that, you know, were used in factories from long ago. So I said, oh, do you mean like sewing machines? And he said, yes, exactly. And he said, oh, in fact, I just picked up this antique sewing machine from an estate sale. And he said, have you ever heard of a featherweight? So, of course, I'm laughing on the inside because I'm like, have I heard of them? I've been stalking them all summer long. And in particularly, I had been looking for a white one. I thought it'd be pretty to have a white one. So anyways, I said, oh, yes, I'm very familiar with featherweights. And, you know, that's big business right now. Everybody wants, like, you know, 400 or more for them. And he says, yeah, the one I picked up, it's really unique. And I just knew he was going to say these next words. He goes, I guess it's really rare because this is a white one. I almost fell off my chair, and so did my husband, because he knows I've been looking at these machines and, you know, drooling after them. So anyways, he went on to say that he hadn't tested the machine. He didn't even know if it worked. So I wasn't going to say, oh, can I have your card? Because I'm really interested in it. Plus, as I said, I don't have the money to spend on that right now. So I just thought it was kind of funny that at that point in time, he would say he had this white one. So anyways, I come home from Disney and I'm still kind of, you know, looking online or and whatever. And then yesterday I was working in my sewing room and I was listening to Katie's Quilting Corner. And she was talking about the featherweights and how she'd like to get one and paint it as well. And I just thought to myself, oh, that's funny. Katie and I must be doing the same thing. We're both on eBay every night looking for machines. Anyway, she did find one. I think maybe hers is black, and she intends on having it painted. That seems to be the big thing, is to have these machines custom painted. As she mentioned, Bonnie had a beautiful magenta one, which met its demise on a flight this summer. Hopefully she got her reimbursement for it from the airlines. That was a total shame. But I went online yesterday and I found a whole bunch of websites that you can send your machine to them and they will custom paint it any color you want. And the colors are like any color of the rainbow. But just in case you're interested in knowing how much that costs, it's $570 for them to take the whole thing apart and paint it. And if you would prefer, you can purchase a machine from them. They take one from their inventory. They repair it, restore it, refurbish the whole thing. Make it look beautiful and paint it. And that goes for about $900. So for old machines, they are capturing a lot of money for these things. And of course, I think that if I were to buy one, I would be a little bit fearful of getting it on eBay because I just don't want to end up with a broken one. And you have to keep in mind, you are purchasing something that is an antique. You know, you might get a one-year warranty from whoever you buy it from, but really that's going to be about it. And on eBay, almost every single person selling one, you know, it's as is condition. They may or may not have tried it out themselves. There may be something wrong with it. You just don't know. And oftentimes the return policy is there is no return. So you have to be careful. Anyway, someday maybe I will get one. I did see an awfully cute one when I was looking online, and it was red with white polka dots and totally reminded me of Minnie Mouse. So, you know, my Disney addiction, that would be a perfect machine for me. So anyways, that was my funny story about Disney and the featherweights. Okay, let's see. Yesterday, I was watching the quilt show, and I just wanted to mention that Sonia Lee Barrington was on there, and she was working with Dupiani Silk, making these absolutely gorgeous pillows. And I don't really think I've ever taken a close look at quilts that have been made with silk, because working with it really doesn't appeal to me, because I know it's very, very fussy. It's slippery, although she did take you through the steps of, you know, you have to put like an interfacing behind it and it makes it a little easier to work with. So anyways, if you're interested in that and you subscribe to The Quilt Show, you will want to check out her episode. And it was from earlier in the summer. I'm just now catching up with everything. My podcast, my Quilt Show watching, which I like to put The Quilt Show on my iPad and I watch one segment a day because the show is broken down into like four segments of like 15 minutes each. So while I eat lunch, I always watch a segment. And I miss doing that over the summer so much. So I'm back to that. And I just want to say, again, about the quilt show. It is really, really worth the price of a subscription to that. You learn so much from, you know, they always have a well-known quilt person on there. And they show you how to do the stuff, and it's just nice to hear them talk. And they do something called the after set, which is like a little question and answer with them. Or they talk about something non-quilt related. It's just really great. And there are a few free shows on there that you can watch. So definitely, definitely check that out. And in terms of other things I need to catch up on, I guess that would be the video cast. I received so many awesome comments from people about doing it, and I want to continue to do it, but I don't know how often I can, only because I have a few days of the week to be able to quilt and work on some projects that I'm working on for upcoming things, and it literally takes about a half a day for me to film one of those YouTube videos and then edit it and then get it up and loaded and then go to all the different social media places I like to go to say, hey, I put the video up. And, you know, there's probably been, you know, maybe 100 people watched the first one. And since then, it's been like in the 40 or 50 people, which is great. But I think I might get more mileage out of doing the podcast. And maybe that's what people enjoy better. So for a little while, I think I'll podcast. And then if I get some extra time, I will throw a video cast up there. But I wanted to thank everyone who left me such nice comments about it. And don't give up on me on it yet. I'm not done with it. I guess I'm just taking a little break from it. All right, so let's move on to the book review. And actually, I have to run because I knew this was going to happen. I'd get talking and forget what time it is. So I'm going to run to my appointment. When I come back, we will do the book review and a little look at the magazines. All right, I've returned. And as I was driving to my appointment, I realized that I forgot to say what the next podcast research question is. And it had to do with the featherweight machines. And the question for the next podcast is this. What is the sewing machine of your dreams? I know we all have longings for, you know, computerized machines, and some of us want featherweights, some of us want a long arm, some of us already own the machine of our dreams. Like, I have a computerized one that I love. It's a Viking Sapphire, but I just have this weird hankering for a Singer featherweight. So what is it? What would really, really make you happy? If money were no object, which machine would it be? So leave me a comment here on the podcast or on Twitter or on Facebook or just email me, whatever. Just get in touch with me and tell me what the machine of your dreams would be and if you already own it and why. So that's the question. And if you don't feel like saying why you want it, just tell me which one. So that would be great to hear from everyone. And on the next podcast, I will share with you what everyone's thoughts were. Okay. The book review is on a book titled The Half-Stitched Amish Quilting Club. It is by Wanda Brunstetter. She is a best-selling author, New York Times author, of a book called The Journey and several other books about Amish culture. One was, as I said, The Journey, The Healing, and The Struggle, I guess, is the third one that she's written. This is a book that I picked up at BJ's when I was there shopping over the summer. It was at the beginning of the summer, and it's actually in the inspirational section. It was $10, and I enjoyed it very much. I'll read you the back. As Amish widow Emma Yoder contemplates the task ahead, her thoughts center on one. What if she fails? Longing to remove a burden from her family by becoming self-sufficient, Emma has offered to hold quilting classes in her home. But when she sees the patchwork of faces assembled for the first lesson, her confidence dwindles as doubt threatens to take hold. There's Star Stevens, a young woman yearning for stability, Pam and Stuart Johnson, a struggling couple at odds in their marriage, Paul Ramirez, a widowed father hoping to find solace in finishing a quilt, Jan Sweet, a rough and tough biker looking for something creative to do, and Ruby Lee Williams, a preacher's wife seeking relaxation amid mounting parish problems. While Emma grows to realize her ability to share her passion for quilting and her faith, the beginning quilters learn to transform scraps of fabric into beauty. And slowly, their fragmented lives begin to take new shape, some in unexpected ways, with the helping hands of each other and the healing hand of God. So that's the back of the book, and there is a bonus quilt pattern included inside. And I think that what drew me to this book was because I flipped open the back page and there was an advertisement for Half Stitched the Musical. So apparently at the Blue Gate Theater, which is probably somewhere near Shipshewani, because that's where the book takes place, it says, based on the book by Wanda Brunstetter, Half Stitched the Musical, Six Loose Threads in an Amish Widow, new for 2012. Visit our website for show dates and times. So apparently they put this on as a play somewhere. So I thought that was pretty cool. I did enjoy the book. It had interesting characters, and it made me laugh here and there, and really felt a lot of compassion for poor Emma, who, as an Amish woman, you know, almost seems kind of timid, and then she's got all this crazy bunch of people who show up on her doorstep, and the married couple is fighting the whole time, and, you know, there's, of course, the girl who, you know, wears black and has, you know, the dark eyeshadow and stuff, and how she grows throughout the story. It's an interesting set of characters. It talks about quilting, which I love. I mean, it's not a 50 Shades of Grey. It's not some big, you know, mystery thriller. It's just a nice story. It's along the same vein as, like, Debbie Maycomer. Just a nice story to read at night before you go to bed. I did enjoy it a lot. I don't know that these other books have, you know, are centered around quilting or not. I'd have to go and look each one up. But I would be willing to try another of her books because I'm also very interested in the Amish life. That fascinates me. So if you are at the library, pick it up. Again, it was $10. I don't know how much it is on Amazon, but it might be less expensive. I'm not sure. So it was a good read, and I would recommend it. Again, not earth-shattering, just a nice, nice story. Okay, so I just have two magazines today, and they both happen to be McCall's. The first one is McCall's Quilting. And I don't have too much dog-eared in each of these issues either, because I was really more on the lookout for notions and things to share with you as opposed to quilts, but there were a few really cute ones. So McCall's Quilting, it is the September-October issue. And inside, see if I can find my first dog ear here. There is an adorable owl quilt, and it's called It's a Hootie, and it was designed by B. Lee, and it's all primary colors, and it's just adorable with what looks like owl eyes looking out at you. You don't see the whole owl, just the eyes, but that's really cute. And then under their Fresh Picks column, where they have quilt shop finds, trends, tools, editor's favorites, they have a Rule Your Jelly Roll quilt ruler. The OmniGrip non-slip 12.5-inch ruler is perfect for cutting quilt patches from jelly roll strips. Its convenient right and left-hand numbering and angle system, along with the extra half-inch for seam allowances, make this a great quilter's tool. So it's a 12.5 by 2.5 ruler by OmniGrid, and that looks like it would be a great tool to have if you work with jelly rolls. So I believe that was it on this one. And then the second magazine that I have is McCall's Quick Quilts. It's the October-November issue, and there were a couple of really cute projects in here. And under their Whatchamacallits, I really liked this. They have something called a Swatch Buddy. It says, be prepared. Forget about second-guessing fabric choices with Swatch Buddies. These handy, reusable fabric cards are kept together by a ring holder that is ideal for attaching to any purse and heading to the quilt shop. Simply attach a small swatch of your fabric to each adhesive card and you're ready to go. So what it looks like is a whole bunch of small tags, almost like the little loyalty key ring cards you get at the different grocery stores and bookstores and stuff. So what they're adhesive, so you stick a little piece of your fabric onto it and you can attach it right to your key ring and bring it around with you. I have no idea how much that goes for, but I think it looks pretty cool. And they also had something called the Artistic Stash Display. Create art using your stash. Display favorite fabrics, button collections, or paper pieces using this sampler canvas display board. It's from Basic Gray, and you choose from three sizes and designs to fit any space in the home. Display items not included. So what it looks like is a nice canvas, and it has a pre-printed design on it. It looks like there's a couple of different sizes, and you can add your own fabrics and buttons and things inside the designs that are already drawn. So that's kind of cool. That's on page 15. You kind of have to see that, I think, to really understand it. And also in this magazine, they had a really adorable, can't find it now, but a really, really adorable tablecloth and placemats that are all with fall things on them. And I think the best part of it was that they also had patterns for these really cute hot pads. It's two different leaves and then also an acorn, and the acorn is just adorable. So that's page 26. That about does it for the magazine roundup and also for this episode of the podcast. I want to thank you for joining me and also ask you to please remember to contact me about what your dream machine would be. You can get me through Facebook, Twitter, Yahoo, Mail, on this podcast. And also, if you would please leave me a comment on iTunes and just let me know how you're doing and how you like the podcast so that other people who are contemplating listening to this podcast will know that it's a decent podcast to turn on and keep company with. I know sometimes I like to read the reviews before I listen to a podcast because everyone's time is so important and limited. You want to make sure that you're listening to the best thing that you can be listening to as time allows. So, and go leave comments for other podcasters as well. It's very, very important to our own well-being as well as, you know, drawing in a larger audience. So have a great week. Until next time. Bye-bye. I can be reached at the following places. I can be found on Quilt Cabana's fan page on Facebook. I am Quilt Cabana under Twitter. My website is www.quiltcabanapatterns.com. My blog is www.quiltcabanapatterns.com/blog, where you can see my latest patterns as well as what's happening in my little quilting world. And you can also find my patterns on Craftsy under Quilt Cabana Patterns, on the Quilt Pattern Shop, as well as on my Etsy store, which is www.quiltcabanapatterns.com. So find me in lots of places and get in touch.